Creator God, our soul's delight, your voice thunders over the waters, liberating the future from the past. In the Spirit's power and the waters of rebirth, Jesus was declared your blessed and beloved child. May we recall our baptism and be disciples, beloved of the Anointed One. Amen.
Amen.
So we are celebrating Jesus' baptism. And as I was meditating on the story of the baptism, it invited me to consider my own journey with rituals. And I wanted to invite you to think the role of ritual. And we are right to have a little bit suspicion of rituals. A lot of people say Jesus didn't come for a religion. Yes and no. The reality is we as human, as embodied creatures of flesh and blood, we have a need for the symbolic, the tangible. And I want to invite you, as I did for myself, to consider the role of ceremonies and rituals in our lives. And as I was meditating, I want to share two experiences. When I was a really little baby, I was a couple of days old, and then another one older. When I was probably, I think I was like 6 days old, or even less, I think it was like 4 days or 3 days, Mom was discharged from the hospital, and she's going home, but she wants to take me to show me to the nuns where she had gone to school. She had gone to this Catholic school with nuns, and she had a good experience with the nuns. And she loved the nuns. I know some people don't. But she really loved the sisters, and they've been really sweet to her. And she wanted to take me and say, this is my baby boy. And then she said, they did this. They took you out of my arms, and they went to the church, the little chapel in the school, and they put you on the altar and left you up there. And then all the nuns were down there, and they started singing and consecrating you to the Blessed Virgin Mary. Mom said, that's why you became a priest. I shouldn't have gone to the school. I shouldn't have gone directly from the hospital to the house, not stop there. I have a picture of it. I carry it always with me in my phone. I don't remember it, but I believe, just as my mom interpreted, I believe somehow that moment was grace-filled. I believe that moment, that ritual, marked my life. When I was ordained a priest, my mom called the same nun to come to the service. And after we did the prayers, and I was made a priest, and there was a whole big ceremony. And then she took me by the hand. Of course, she couldn't climb me up the altar. It was too big, but she took me to the altar, the image where we have, like here, we have the image of Mary, and she said another prayer for me at that time. So the power of ritual. A second I wanted to share with you is when I got married to Hugh, my only marriage, and we both couldn't get married in church. It was not allowed then. This is 2009. So it was not allowed to get married in church. We were not allowed to get married civilly either in the state of New York. We had to go flee and cross the border into Connecticut. And over in Connecticut, we got married. So we had this ceremony. We had to find the Justice of the Peace. She was from the United Church of Christ. And she said, so you can come and get married in our church. Then we want, so I invited some friends. So she did the papers. But we got six of our friends who were priests already. And they came and did a Eucharist for us in the yard, in the backyard of her house. There was a little table, and we had the bread and the wine, and we had the ceremony. So we did the wedding part, and then we celebrated communion. And this friend of mine, she's a priest, and she'll be coming next year with her children, her husband, who's a priest too. And she's going to give me the chalice to drink from the cup. And in that moment, when she's presenting me the cup, I see in the chalice my reflection. And I see Hugh beside me. And it was, I couldn't hold it together. I started just sobbing because I saw in this chalice myself and Hugh being blessed by the blood of Christ and feeling that this moment was consecrated by God's love. So I wanted to share these two experiences, not just to encourage you to think in your own life, moments where you've had felt that ceremonies or rituals have conveyed the grace and the love of God. And today, as we celebrate Jesus' baptism, I think we focus on baptism, but I would like to expand it even bigger. Where have you experienced God's grace in sacraments? We traditionally, there's supposedly two big sacraments, right? Which are those? Baptism and communion. Those are the two sacraments invited us to do. And it's interesting, Jesus ordered us, he invited us, keep doing this. At the end of Matthew, go and baptize people. And Paul says, I received from Jesus the instruction, take bread and break it, do this in remembrance of me. Take the cup, this is my blood, do this in remembrance of me. And that is a powerful word. Jesus is not only us telling us, keep doing this. It is useful. These rituals can help you. But that word remembrance comes from a Greek word that means, the word is anamnesis, which is related to memory. It is a memory, but it is a powerful memory. One of my professors, he defined this word remembrance. It is not merely to, oh yeah, I remember something from the past. He defines it this way. It is a celebration that makes present an event of the history of salvation. So it's a celebration that makes alive something that happened in the past. And in the second part, he says, so as to take hold of the hearts and minds of those participating in the ritual. So it makes present something that was in the past. So it's sort of like a sci-fi movie where time and space are dissolved. And the second thing is, it's a ritual that grabs your heart and your mind as you participate in it. And as I was reflecting, he says, yeah, as a little baby, I don't remember it, but it's a photo I keep in my pocket, in my phone. The only thing I can see is very dark black hair. I had hair that time. It's just this little baby, and just this black hair. And this nun, and it was one of those flying nuns with this big, with a big hat. Remember those? Like in the movie? And she's just there in front of the altar. I truly believe that in that moment when this woman consecrated me to Mary, I believe Mary was there. She was blessing me, bringing me to her son. And in the second, it took hold of me. No wonder my mom says, that's because you became a priest. I truly believe something there happened. And God's grace just embraced me and took hold of my heart and my mind. In our Anglican tradition, we call these rituals, there's a special word we use, which is what? Sacraments. Have you heard it? And those of you who went to Sunday school in the Episcopal Church, there is a definition of sacrament, right? Which is what? Remember it? They're outward, visible signs of a inward, invisible grace. And this is from 1604. This was first appeared in our prayer book. Sacraments, these are rituals. They are outward, visible signs. Water, bread, wine. They're material stuff. They're ordinary things. Oil, candles, books, cloth. All these material things that are outward, external, visible thing, but they, what was the other part, the second part? They are signs of an inward and invisible grace. And grace is another word for love, for God's love. So these actions, these rituals are simply visible things that convey the invisible love, grace of God. The church thus takes material things, bread, wine, water, oil, and make them vehicles of God's Spirit. In imitation of Christ's incarnation, when he took material flesh and made it a vehicle for the Holy Spirit. So in truth, as we celebrate these sacraments, it is not only sacraments really related to the birth of Jesus, the incarnation. If we were saying, as I've been saying over and over again for Christmas time, the Word become flesh, the divine becomes human, heaven and earth become one, then everything, since that, everything can be a sacrament of God. We say there are two sacraments in the Catholic tradition. We say how many? Seven. And seven is simply a symbolic number. We came up seven in the Middle Ages. So we hadn't decided seven. And seven, just, I understand it, it's a lot. It's a lot. And there's seven, yeah, but you know what? There are probably a million sacraments. And the invitation is, where can we open our eyes and our ears and our hearts to discover moments in our life around us where the divine becomes present in many little ways? And I bet you, if I ask, we open up, and we don't have time, but to open and have a discussion, each one of you could say, oh yes, I remember that time when this happened and I felt God's grace coming into my life. So as we celebrate Jesus' baptism, yeah, we remember the two big sacraments, baptism and communion. But my invitation is, there are many more. Many ways in which God's grace comes amongst us. You probably have noticed our bulletin is a little bit different. We're going to be tweaking some of the things. This is too small of a letter. Fonts, we'll change it. But the idea is to each part of the service have a little explanation. And the idea is to help us, aid us, that through these visible actions that we do, may they communicate the grace of God. Many times we come and it's kind of strange, especially people who don't come from this tradition. Many of the things that happen in church are kind of weird. Honest, they're ancient stories and rituals. But once you understand the symbolism, the richness, you can pray with your heart. When little things, for example, when I put the water in the wine, and I've mentioned it to a couple of people, for me it's very important. That little piece of water, a drop of water I put in the chalice, and I say a prayer. This water represents me. And I'm just like a little drop of water, and God, the divine, is the wine. And just like this little drop of water dissolves and becomes one and can't be separated between water and wine, may my life do the same. Jesus, may you become one with me and I become one with you. The famous Gospel of Thomas, which is not a canonical gospel, I know, but has a beautiful saying of Jesus. Whoever drinks from my mouth will become like me. And I myself shall become that person. And the hidden things will be revealed to that person. What a beautiful way of expressing what we do in communion. Whoever drinks from my mouth will become like me. And myself shall become like you. So today what I would like is, take home the bulletin with you. Take a magnifying glass if you need. We'll keep bringing it next week. And to really educate ourselves, but not the brain, educate ourselves so that when these actions occur, they may speak to us in a deeper way. Hopefully, they'll become more meaningful. And at the same time, I believe, easier to convey the deeper meaning of a sacramental act. I wanted to end by sharing a story of, it's not a story, it's an ancient document. It was written around the year 150, so not too far after Jesus' death and resurrection. Jesus probably died around the year 30,
So it's 120 years afterwards. And there's a man, his name was Justin, and he wrote to this senator in Rome. And he wrote about what we do. And you'll notice how similar what he did was what we do still. Almost 2,000 years later, we more or less do the same thing. He wrote, "On the day called Sunday, all who live in cities or in the country gather together to one place. And the memoirs of the apostles or the writings of the prophets are read as long as time permits. Then, when the reader has ceased, the president verbally instructs and exhorts to the imitation of these good things." So that's, I think that's what I'm trying to do here. "Then we all rise together and pray. And as we before said, when our prayer is ended, bread and wine and water are brought. And the president, in like manner, offers prayers and thanksgiving according to his ability. And the people assent, saying, Amen. And there is a distribution to each and a participation of that over which thanks has been given. And to those who are absent, a portion is sent by the deacons, and they who are well-to-do and willing give what each thinks fit. And what is collected is deposited with the president, who succors the orphans and widows and those who through sickness or any cause are in want, and those who are in bonds and the strangers sojourning among us, and in a word, takes care of all who are in need." Isn't it interesting? How similar, still 2,000 years, we keep doing it. So as we remember, as we embark now what we're going to do in a couple of minutes, we are being nourished in two tables. One table right here, the table of the word. We'll be moving over here to the table of the bread and the wine. Two ways in which we are nourished. But I invite you to, it's not only here. Maybe the sacrament is right sitting beside you. Maybe the sacrament will be when you go outside and you encounter someone, something today, where, as Jesus experienced in his baptism, the heavens are rendered open and a voice will come and say, "You are my beloved." May our eyes and our ears be open to listen to that voice today. Let us pray. Grace-filled God, you revealed your child in the waters of the Jordan. You anointed him with the power of the Holy Spirit to proclaim good news to all people. Sanctify us by the same Spirit that we may proclaim the healing power of the gospel, my acts of love, in your name. Amen.